Welcome to Addiction and Redemption.
Before the ayahuasca, before the clear blue skies, and before the great awakening, there were demons disguised.
Okay, welcome back. Another edition of Addiction and Redemption. Dave Keenest here. Keenest Coaching. Just my other podcast, I'm kind of working to move that forward and interview cooler people, more fascinating people. The podcast called Fascinating Talks, if any of you have listened to it. But I'm trying to get Father Michael Flager on the phone. I spoke to his assistant today and sent him an email. He runs a parish in Englewood in Chicago, right in the epicenter of all the gun violence. He's this very outspoken Catholic priest, fascinating guy. So the power of intention will get you far. Intention's one thing, but then you got to follow that up with action. Intention plus action. So I say inspiration plus integrity equals infinity. So if I get an idea to interview Father Michael Flager, I better call him or try to get in touch with him or get over my fear that they're not going to be happy if I call their parish or cold call them or whatever. I also actually ran into Jeff Clark the other day. He's the founder of the Mavericks Surf Wave, one of the gnarliest spots in the entire world. He surfed that spot for 15 years by himself. It's outside of San Francisco. Ran into him the other day at a coffee shop here in Encinitas and asked him to be a guest on my show. And so now, you know, I'm kind of, he said, sure, email me. And so now I'm emailing him. He's not getting back to me. And it's like, okay, well, I got to stay on top of him until he tells me to fuck off or he doesn't have time or says yes. So again, inspiration. I'm inspired to interview this guy because he's fascinating. Side note, so there's a little side whatever into personal development work 101. So speaking of personal development work, so now, you know, we're out of the addiction by this point in the story. We're well into the redemption. This is approximately 4 years sober where we are in the story now. And it we had that little, you know, that about a year-long sort of a whatever into spirit medicine. It was a little longer than a year. It was maybe about a year and a half, maybe even 2 years. But the brunt of it was the summer of 2007, the summer of 2010 into like the very early winter of 2011 is kind of the main, I guess, the epicenter, you might call it. I've used the word epicenter twice now in the podcast. It was kind of the focus of it was really that 12 or 14 months there. And it led me to coaching, as I mentioned. The shaman mentioned this coach training program called Accomplishment Coaching and invited me to go with her to see this observation. And I watched this personal development work happening in real time and was really amazed by it. And so I signed up for the program. Now, this is where it gets... This is where the power of choosing outside of what you think is business as usual for comes into play. Because by this time, I had burned through all my savings from the software selling job. I had about $300 or $400 to my name at the time. And I went and I observed this coach training happening. And the coach training cost $15,000 at the time. And I had like $300. And so your default right there is, well, I can't afford it. And so this is kind of what I do as a coach. It's like people will be like, I can't afford it. And they're just telling themselves a story that they can't afford things, and they're making that story real. And this was reflected to me by one of the very powerful coaches in this program. She's like, well, are you used to having money and your circumstances around money like dictate your existence? And I was like, yes, I am used to that. And she's like, well, would you like to switch that around or switch that relationship to money around? And I'm like, yes, I would. And well, how would that look then for you to start raising money now to pay for the program? And it was like, well, I might get a job or I might do this or I might do that. Because nobody's got $15,000 sitting around. I mean, some people certainly do, but a lot of people don't. And what they started to do was really challenge me on this bullshit. Like on these bullshit beliefs that I've been carrying around and just hold me to a higher standard that I ask to be held to. And that's what coaching is. Coaching is really just holding people to a higher standard, holding them to their greatness, holding them to their potential versus their circumstances. And so the program was broken down into 12 payments of actually it was 11 payments. I started the second month of the program. So the program was broken down into 11 payments of like $1,365. So all of a sudden I've got this $1,365 bill every month to figure out how to pay. And I'm not really into working. You know, I really got into not working when I quit that job. I mean, I didn't do shit for 6 months and it was awesome. I'm not one of those people that gets bored if they don't have anything to do. I'm perfectly fine with that much to do. Sometimes they get a little bored, but now as an entrepreneur, as a guy who works for myself, I have to create things to do, but it's never that much. It's never 8 hours in a day. Maybe sometimes it's like 5 hours, but it's never 8 hours in a day. I guess more on that later, but I just started figuring out how to come up with this money, and it's just like as soon as you become willing to figure something out that you're not willing to figure out, that you weren't willing to figure out before, you start to figure it out. And money's one of those things that just has people freeze. They just go, like, what the fuck? $15,000, you've got to be insane. And I'm like, well, not really. Just think about it for a minute, you know, because that $1,365 per month breaks down to like, I don't know, it's like 30 bucks a day or 35 bucks a day or something. And it's really not that difficult, right? And this is my opinion, but what separates the ordinary person from the extraordinary person is how they relate to circumstances, right? So an extraordinary person sees a circumstance and goes, okay, well, that's a circumstance. Okay, well, that's just a challenge for me to come up with this money. Where an ordinary person goes, oh, my God, I can't. Look at that. And look at that bill or whatever, you know, and look at that dollar amount. And there's no way. And they let those circumstances completely control their entire existence. Now, I'm not trying to present myself as being perfect in the face of circumstances, because I'm not. I'm still reliable to go fucking insane around money. I was in the middle of my Kundalini practice this morning at like 5 a.m. and I realized I forgot to pay a credit card bill and just completely freaked out and went crazy and stopped the yoga practice in the middle of the yoga practice and went online and paid the bill. And, you know, so I'm still prone to insanity around money. Most people are, but it's how we relate to the circumstances that very often determines our destiny. You know, I've had my heart broken more times than I can count. Do I want those circumstances to get in the way of me finding Mrs. Right? Fuck no. But this is what we do. And there's a whole relationship here as well between subconscious beliefs, and very often subconscious beliefs are running the show. And this is where, you know, much deeper work comes into play, because sometimes you got to address those subconscious beliefs, and sometimes that's a massive project in and of itself that involves deeper 12-step work, deep, you know, therapy, all kinds of crazy stuff. Typically, if a person is stuck in a rut that has gone on for decades, it's going to take a little bit of work, if not a lot of work, to undo the thinking, the patterns of thinking, and the beliefs that are going on behind the scenes that are leading to the patterns of thinking. But it can totally be done. And it just starts with opening up the conversation. People avoid getting into the conversation. And if they avoid getting into the conversation, they're avoiding doing anything about the circumstances. And I don't really mean necessarily an actual conversation with other human beings, although 9 times out of 10 that's required. But it's just a conversation with the universe. Like, I've got this circumstance around money. I'm interested in changing it. How would that look? And that's where coaching comes in, because coaching, it's really just getting people present to what they don't realize is going on. It's just like, here, take a goddamn hard look at yourself. And, you know, coaching, none of my coaching is for addiction. I don't work. I mean, I have people in recovery I work with, but we don't do addiction coaching really at all. That's a person in early sobriety. Could not do the type of coaching I do. It's too confrontational. A lot of them can't even wrap their head around it. They're just trying to, you know, not smoke crack or whatever. And sometimes people think I'm like an addiction coach, or that I'm like this kind of addiction mentor, and that's how I make money. And that's just not what I fucking do. It pisses me off when people think that. Although I realize I do have this podcast, but the point of the podcast again is just to show you what's possible when you move beyond that thing that's really fucking your life up. What's possible for me, what was possible for me on the other side of that thing that fucked my life up, was my life as I have it today, with the surfing and the sun and the SoCal and all that amazing stuff. But coaching really got me present to what was possible, because it got me into a conversation with these people that were like, you can do whatever the fuck you want. what's in the way of it, right? Now, it was not easy. Coaching is not easy. It's very, very challenging to have these people who see not only your greatness, but also the things that are blocking you. It's not easy to have these people see this in you and then hold you to what they know you can be, because they're going to reflect everything that is blocking you in a way that can be very, very, very challenging, right? I went into this coach training program at almost 4 years sober, 3.5 years sober, thinking I had everything figured out and thinking I'm hot shit because I done all this spirit medicine stuff now, which the spirit medicine work, you know, the ayahuasca work, it really makes people think that they are fucking cooler than Jesus in a lot of ways. And I had that kind of Jesus Messiah complex going on, thinking I'm like the fucking God's gift to the universe because I've seen these visions and had met these angels. And so don't y'all try to tell me what to do. And they were basically just like, don't you get that you're very self-righteous? And I was like, don't you tell me I'm self-righteous, self-righteously defending my self-righteousness or lack of self-righteousness, however I perceived it. It was almost like vehemently denying that I was self-righteous, and in denying that, I was proving that I was totally and disturbingly self-righteous. And so at this point, all this anger starts coming up. The fact that I'm an angry, angry, angry motherfucker starts coming up. I mean, it's just like, and I had no idea that anger was still buried inside me. And I'll probably get to anger later on. My book, the book that I'm writing, which is getting close to finished, starts off, the first scene of it after the introduction is this, it's the scene of me and my third birthday party and the first temper tantrum that I recall. There were probably many before that. But I was basically born angry. I was born just the fucking most rage-filled motherfucking little piece of fire you ever met. You know, I was born on fire. There was just always... I sounded like Beavis just said, I was born on fire. I was just born with this fiery anger inside of me, and more on that later, probably a little bit down the road. Where was I going? I got lost on anger. Oh yeah, these coaches are reflecting me, and these people I went through this program are kind of reflecting to me that I've got this anger thing. And I'm like, don't you fucking tell me I'm angry, and they're like, that's what we're talking about. Now, I'm kind of paraphrasing the entire experience, but this is kind of how it went. All of a sudden, all of this stuff comes up, and the anger is covering up this deep sense of self-loathing that I have, and this deep sense of self-loathing goes back a very long time, and now I got to get some therapy, and that costs more money, and what the fuck? And this program really started to make me go a little crazy, because all I wanted was to have that law of attraction stuff become real. But in order to make that law of attraction stuff really become real, and not just, you know, not in just a blowing up sales numbers kind of way, in like this way where I'm living this purposeful, meaningful existence, I got to look at all this stuff. I got to look at this deep-rooted emotional programming, which I've talked about before. There was an episode called Deep-Rooted Emotional Programming. But now it's really starting to become obvious, right? And this is the power of coaching, because it creates an awareness around these things that we didn't have awareness around before. And it gives us an opportunity to do some things about it. And so at the same time, I'm like figuring out money and making money work and getting by and paying the monthly bill for the coaching. At the same time, I'm just living in this really constant state of stress. And it was essentially, I was emotionally unsober, and there's a lot of drama going on with some people, which I'll probably touch on next episode. But things got a little weird when I went into coach training, and I see a lot of people when they go to become coaches, things get weird and they can't handle the weirdness, and they give up on the dream, you know. So kind of meandered a little bit today, but thanks for listening. This has been another edition of Addiction and Redemption. Have a great day. Bye.